One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
Thank you, Faith. That's better than your favorite candidate winning the election. Amen. No doubt about it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, please guide our thoughts tonight. Thank you for what your word teaches us. We can always run to the Bible and find what we need, whatever situation we're facing in life. And we do thank you for our country. We pray for its help these days. Lord, more than we need a more conservative president, we need a revival. We need an awakening. We need spiritually to be brought to our knees and breaking our hearts and get it right with you. Lord, so just do a work and to help us as citizens to be biblically right and to shine as burning and shining lights in this world. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. We're not going to be on this subject unending here, but we do live in the United States of America. We are part of the citizenry of this country. We did have a general election yesterday that was a very important one, and I don't think it's out of line for us to discuss or talk about it as a church. I'm sure everybody would like to, you know, have the pulpit and the platform be able to say a few words tonight, so I won't speak as much personally as I will just kind of generically. But I notice here, and I told you to turn to Isaiah 45. Actually, you're going to begin reading in verse 44, and the context begins actually in verse 24. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, talking about the nation of Israel and so forth. I am the Lord that maketh all things. And then you're going to read all of these that's in verses 24, 25, starts with the word that. Verse 26 starts with the word that. Verse 27 starts with the word that. I am the Lord that, defining himself. And then you get down to verse number 28, the last verse in the chapter. I am the Lord, if you will, back in verse 24. I am the Lord, now verse 28, that saith of Cyrus. Notice this. He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed. Notice that. To his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Now, Here is a prophecy that God made about a Gentile king in the year 712, 711, 710 B.C. His name was Cyrus. Okay, it's pretty obvious here from this passage, all right? So he's a Gentile king. But folks, when this prophecy is made in 712, 711, 710 B.C., Cyrus is not king. In fact, Cyrus is not even born. So God is making a prophecy about an unborn man who is yet to come into this world. He's yet to ascend to the throne of Media Persia. And this prophecy was made, years in advance of his even being born. And Cyrus came to power approximately 558 B.C. So if you take 712 B.C. as your starting time of this prophecy, and you take 558 B.C. as the year that Cyrus came to power as king, that's 154 years. 154 years before he became king. How long before he was born? I don't know. I don't know how old he was when he became king. But 154 years before he became king, God prophesied that Cyrus would be a king. God said that he would use Cyrus to accomplish his will for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And Cyrus is a Gentile king. Now hold your finger. You know, we're actually going to come back here. Let's go to Ezra chapter 1. Turn back several pages in your Old Testament to the book of Ezra chapter 1. And remember that the Old Testament is not in the Bible chronologically in order. Okay? So when we get to Ezra 1:1, we are actually some years after Isaiah 45, 44 and 45 were written. In fact, it's about 538 B.C., okay? So Cyrus becomes king in 558 B.C. after being king for about 20... He didn't come to power in Persia at 558. He was a king over another place and then it emerged together. And look at chapter 1, Ezra, verse number 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, so now he's over all Medo-Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, talking about the fact that 70 years of captivity were going to be on the nation of Israel, and then they were going to go back to Israel and rebuild. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth." He's the king over all the known world now. "And he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem," which is in Judah. "Who is there among you of all his people?" They've been in captivity for 70 years. "Hey, how many of you Jews, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." So here he is. This is the prophecy that Isaiah made in about 712 B.C., and now it comes to pass in about 538 B.C. that this Gentile king makes a proclamation and says, "Hey, all you Jews, whoever wants to, why don't you rise up and go back to Jerusalem and rebuild rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls and so forth and so on." Now, my point is this. God chose a Gentile king to assist his people, the Jews. And by the way, folks, I don't have any premonition about any of the future. I just know this. You got to remember as a Christian that the world does not revolve around America. The world revolves around God's people, the Jews, the nation of Israel. And the church has not replaced Israel. We are not Israel. God is still going to deal with his people. And it would not surprise me, I don't have any premonition, I don't know, but it would not surprise me that God maybe has put Donald Trump in the presidency to fit into some providential plan and will, not just for America, but for his people Israel. Because I'm going to tell you something, they haven't had a friend in the White House the last 8 years. Brother Bragg showed me a clip of Mr. Netanyahu. He made a video clip. Was it on YouTube, Mike? He made a YouTube video congratulating Mr. Trump on his election and said that, you know, we've been friends personally for a long time And we hope that we will continue to be friends as a country, and our alliance will grow stronger. He had a big smile on his face. He probably is very pleased he doesn't have to deal with old Hussein over here for much longer. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth, because he hasn't had a friend in the White House. And, you know, well, this is great for America. It might be greater for Israel than it is for America. You got to keep that in mind. God's calendar does not revolve around America. Ours does, but not His. Okay? His revolves around His people, Israel. Now, I just want to make some comments tonight, because here God used this Gentile king to assist His people, the Jews, to help send this proclamation for them to go back and rebuild their country. They've been in captivity for 70 plus years. And some of them, by the way, some of the Jews were so comfortable in Babylon, had gotten so comfortable there during the captivity that they didn't return. They stayed in place. But many did under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah. Of course, Ezra came later. But God used a Gentile king to get the ball rolling. He gave this proclamation, hey, Jews, who's strong? Whose spirit is stirred up? Go back and rebuild your city. And so God has used kings all down through the years to accomplish His will. I want to just say this tonight. Three or four things about this election, we'll put it to bed and see what happens in the coming months. Number one, I'm going to quote you a scripture from Acts chapter 15 and verse number 18. You say, how do you explain all this? Listen very carefully to this scripture. This is what Paul was preaching. And he said this, James. James, the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem. Listen very carefully. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. So what is it saying? What surprised me and you probably did not surprise God. In fact, didn't surprise God. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Folks, God has a plan. God has a will. That plan, that will is being carried out on planet Earth. It may never make much sense to me and you. It doesn't have to, because it makes full sense to Him. His hand is on the throttle. He is in control. And He's running the whole thing. You say, what about Hitler? Well, what about Hitler? Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. God used a Gentile king to assist His people. He may have used a German crazy man to punish His people. I don't know, but He does. And that's what you have to remember about all of this, okay? Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. This is some things about from Scripture here. Then I'm going to make some comments about the election. Number two, God in what we call ordinary providence can make all things work together for good to them that love Him. Now God can do that. I am not advocating evil, but God is the only one who can bring good out of evil. Okay? You don't want people to have to experience evil so that they can see God bring good out of it. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is God is big enough and powerful enough and wonderful enough that He can bring good from evil. And all things do work together for good to them that love Him. And you know what? If the opposite had happened last night and Hillary had been elected president, we would have to say the same thing tonight. That somehow, some way, God's able to make all things work together for good to them that love Him. That's just true about God, period. Number three, God sometimes chooses the great men of this world who are imperfect and only half informed to be His instruments. Any man God chooses as His instrument is imperfect. And any man that God chooses as His instrument is only half informed, because he can't know the full mind of God. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Not man. Man doesn't know the whole plan. Man will not know the whole plan. Man cannot know the whole plan. But God got it all down. Got it all. And He uses imperfect men, half informed. Boy, they talk so big. We're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to have this, and we're going to be this. And I guess they got to talk that way. But the honest truth of the matter is, friend, they're only half informed. because they have no clue as to what God's big plan is for this whole world, overall picture. So, God used it. God, you think about Daniel, Daniel chapter 4, verse number 17, talking about Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says there that God sets up and takes down whom He will to be king. He sets up and He takes down. That's why, you know, maybe you did. I never prayed for Donald Trump to be president. I prayed for God's will to be done. Because God sets up and God sets down. God, may your will be done and we'll be okay with your will, whatever it is. Now, I was very surprised last night. I would think that probably 99% of the folks in this room were very surprised. Because I just didn't think it. Well, I think I said on Sunday to you, it'll be an act of God. And that's probably what it was. It's hard to explain. Hard to explain. I've got a voicemail from Pastor Mike Ray, Napa, California, Hopewell Baptist Church, that came to my phone. I was in a poor cell area, and I didn't get it all till today. But it was sent yesterday, during the day, during the general election on Tuesday. He said, "Hey, Terry," he said, "a bunch of us pastors here in California are going to board a plane and go to Canada for the next 4 years. You want to come with us?" And then he went on to say, "Seriously, what are you going to say to your people Wednesday night? Are you going to give them a pep talk? How are you going to help them?" It was, in his mind, it was already done. Of course, he's from California. But, you know, don't be too hard on him. I think in a lot of our minds, we considered Mr. Trump a vast underdog. So I was surprised. Now, I would like to open a new business, Angel Travel Agency. And I would like to assist all the Hollywood stars who said they were going to move out of America if Trump became president. I would love to help them find a place to live. I've been online today looking. There's some wonderful real estate in Afghanistan. There's some even better real estate in North Korea. I think it'd be a great place for them to go. Mr. Jay-Z and whoever else they are, all these guys, man, I think it'd be wonderful, man. I would gladly. In fact, I bet we would even take an offering to take them to maybe help them with plane fare. Amen. One-way ticket. That's right, right? Sure. But seriously, I was surprised. I want to say these four things. Number one, I am less excited Trump is in as I am that Hillary is not. Does that make sense to you? I am less excited that Trump is in as I am that Hillary is not. Now, I'm sorry, folks. I'm glad she's not in, but I do not forget that his real estate fortune was amassed through casinos and other places like that. You can't change that. He's been a part of businesses, in some case, that promote vile and wicked behavior amongst people. I've never been to a casino with Jason Lowe in Bahamas. We had to walk through this. It's a strange thing. It's not really even a walk through, but it's the downstairs of a casino. You have to walk through it to get to a place that he wanted us to go see and visit, to kind of a tourist thing. You have to walk through the Atlantis? Is that what it is? The casino there? And there was a devil spirit in that place walking through there. I'm not kidding. Walking through, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. And that's how he's made his fortunes, with casinos. So, I'm less excited that he is in as I am that she is not in. I think it would have been very tough on us and on our future had she won last night. Number two, I am hoping he will stick to his promises. In the first 30 days, I hope he repeals Obamacare. I hope he prosecutes Hillary Clinton. I hope he prosecutes Loretta Lynch and others guilty of putting our nation in danger by making classified information free to whoever wants it. That's criminal activity, people. And it concerns me a little bit to hear him talking about a big old group hug. You didn't get elected because you promoted a group hug. You got elected because you spoke out and against liberals and their policies. Now keep your promises. He needs to appoint conservative justices to the Supreme Court. He needs to get gun control under control. He needs to do something about immigration. All the things that he spoke about that people rallied to and voted for him, he needs to come through. He's got a Republican House. He's got a Republican Senate. I mean, is there any chemistry to this thing that since 1908 the Cubs have never won a World Series, and since 1928 they never had a Republican President, House, and Senate? It's amazing. Crazy. But seriously, he needs to make good on his promises, and I think that, and I hope that he will get some of those things accomplished that he said he would do as he was running for election and improve the economy and so forth and so on. Number three, I want to say this. He will need our prayers. Now, I can't say, I've already said this, I can't be honest with you and tell you that I prayed for Trump to win. Because I didn't. Scott Minkowski and I prayed together on Sunday nights. We prayed that Hillary would not win. Right? Yes, we did. Every week. More than once. We prayed, have mercy on us, that she would not win. I'm going to tell you this. Pastor Denny Maloney, who was Brother Coral's first pastor in Pennsylvania after Brother Coral got saved. Okay, he still pastors out there. He sent this text message out to some guys a few days before the election, maybe a week before, 5 days before the election. This is what he sent out. I was asked by Michelle Bachmann. Do you remember Michelle Bachmann? She ran for president in 2012. I was asked by Michelle Bachmann to be on Trump's Faith Advisory Council for Pennsylvania. She heads up the National Faith Advisory Council. Trump has asked this to be in place. He talks to and gets advice from one of the preachers on the council every day. And he put in parenthesis, Baptist preachers. He has the Bible read to him every day. Takes a preacher with him on his campaign trail. He has told us that he is for having a Bible study in the White House. We have been told he made a profession of faith. I mentioned that before. Those close to him say he is a changed man and seeks to know and do truth. Our church is praying for the election during every service. Now, Denny Maloney is not a glory seeker. He is not a, He's not a goofball. There's lots of goofballs in the world. He's not a goofball. He sent that text out. I don't know how much of that. I don't think Denny Maloney would tell a lie. That's what he was told. He's part of the advisory council, so it's probably what he has been told. I hope the person that talk to them wouldn't lie. And I will tell you this. The media that vilified Mr. Trump before the election will not let up now that he's been elected. Obama has received a free hall pass from the media for 8 years. It just galled me last night. I was watching Fox. I got home about 10 o'clock. I was watching Fox a little bit. And trying to watch it, I would take the commercials and zip over to CNN, and they were refusing to call states that had already been called. They refused. The bias was incredible. Mr. Obama has received a free hall pass for his activities, but Mr. Trump will not receive that same pass from our national media. He will be scrutinized and he'll be picked to death. And the truth of the matter is, you need to pray for his safety. You need to pray for his safety. Conservative people don't assassinate. Liberals do. So you need to pray for his safety. And I'm serious about that. I'm serious about it. I'm serious. It's like my little grandson, Ian. Pawpaw, he said last Thursday, Pawpaw, the Cubs won the World Series. I said, serious? Yeah, that's what he said. Well, I'm serious. You need to pray for his safety. And then I want to say number four tonight, folks, never put all your hopes, or I'm sorry, never attach all of your hopes or despair in a man. Never attach all your hopes or despair in a man. What are you saying? I'm saying don't get too excited and don't get too disappointed. If the election had gone the other way, the person that most of us didn't want to win would have won, Mrs. Clinton, we'd have to stay on an even keel. We couldn't come in here tonight like the world's come to an end. Because you can't pin all your disappointments in one person. Neither can you pin all your hopes in one person. The truth of the matter is, Mr. Trump has an extremely uphill battle, even with a Republican Senate and a Republican House. He's got an uphill battle to do what he said he wants to do in this country as president. You can't pin all your hopes on him. You will be disappointed. I love Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in man. You need to mark that verse. According to some, that's the middle verse in the Bible. If it's the middle verse in the Bible, it's no accident. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I am glad, I am thankful, Mr. Trump won. I am more glad, I am more thankful that Hillary Clinton didn't win. We'll see now where this goes. But as God's people, we have a responsibility to pray. We've prayed for Mr. Obama. We may have prayed that he would lose his, he would get out of the White House sooner than he did. I think we need to pray now. If you like Mr. Trump, pray for his safety, pray for his wisdom. Pray that he assigns and appoints people around him that have some good ideas and some favorable biblically based values. There's a lot to pray for in the coming days. Our country's not out of trouble yet. General Motors is laying off 2,000 people. Matt's job, he's already talked about that tonight for a prayer request. Other situations, I got a phone call yesterday from one of our members, has a very serious unspoken prayer request because some liberal folks are attacking him. And so you just need to pray. Our country's not out of the woods. We're a long ways from it, in fact. And we need God's help still in a great way. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. And then we're going to see a couple of things tonight before we go. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll please help us again. We want to thank you, Lord, for the outcome that we thought maybe would be the best for biblically based values and morals. I just pray now that you will please protect our president-elect. I pray for a smooth transition from the Obama administration to Mr. Trump's. I pray, God, for those who have his ear. I pray that you'll put people around him, God, who have a sense of biblical morality. If he is saved, if he has been saved, I pray that your Spirit will lead, guide, and direct him as only the Holy Spirit can. And God, I am thankful that I am your child tonight, and known unto you are all your works from the beginning of the world. And so I stand tonight in great security, plugged into the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the God whose plan is being worked out. May you bless the USA. Bless our elected officials and help us to do our part in the coming days in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing just a word tonight.